Hello and welcome to the Monday, November 11th, 2013 edition of the Sand Center Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm the recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Looks like Microsoft is not getting a break this week. FireEye found yet another Internet Explorer Saturday in the wild that is being used in some more or less targeted attacks. This one is a little bit tricky because it actually uses two vulnerabilities. The actual code execution vulnerability is in msvcrt.dll. However, it's a little bit tricky to exploit and depends on the exact version of this particular DLL. So in addition to the actual vulnerability in this file, there is a vulnerability, a second vulnerability that leaks the exact version of this file, which then can be used by the attacker to customize the exploit. The exploit works against Windows XP, Internet Explorer 8, and Windows 7 with Internet Explorer 9. The vulnerability itself also exists in Internet Explorer 10, so it is potentially also vulnerable. It can be mitigated with the Enhanced Mitigation Experience Toolkit, which in particular, if you are running an older operating system like Windows XP, is probably your best chance to fight this and other similar exploits. But then for the Unix folks, we also have a pretty important vulnerability, even not quite as critical as the Internet Explorer vulnerability. OpenSSH released a new version of the OpenSSH server. The current version 6.2 and 6.3 suffers from a buffer overflow in the ASGCM cipher. When the client connects to a system, it will pick the cipher, and due to this vulnerability, a user could then get complete access to the system by exploiting this cipher. Luckily, the vulnerability is post-authentication, so it could, for example, be used to bypass any restrictions that an administrator placed on a particular user account, but it will not be possible to just root a system that you don't even have an account on. I think the systems that are most susceptible to this, or should be most worried about this, are systems that have lots of not quite well trusted users connected to them and that use tricks like SSH limitations in order to limit what a particular user may be able to do. A patch has been released, OpenSSH 6.4, and the actual change to the code is really only one line, so you can also roll this back to older versions of OpenSSH. If you can't patch OpenSSH, then you can still just eliminate this particular cipher from the available ciphers on your server, and you should be fine as well. And Matthew Van Hove did publish an interesting vulnerability in Atheros drivers that affects people who try to spoof MAC addresses. Turns out that this particular driver will always listen on the original hardware MAC address in addition to the spoofed MAC address. Not only this, the way this is implemented in the firmware or in the wireless driver means that the particular network card will now acknowledge frames to a variety of MAC addresses, essentially only filtering frames based on a mask that is derived from all bits that are set in both MAC addresses. In practical experiments, this means that an attacker, or in this case, I guess a defender, if you're being attacked by a spoofed MAC address, you can actually enumerate bit by bit the original MAC address of this particular device, and with that pretty quickly derive 5 the MAC address that was originally assigned to the device. Pretty interesting trick if you're trying to defend against wireless devices that spoof MAC addresses. And in this blog post, there's also a link to a little Python script that does actually implement enumerating the original MAC address bit by bit. And then for the mobile users out there, we also have a new attack that attempts to detect the PIN as you type it into your mobile device. This particular attack uses sort of a side channel attack against typing in your PIN. The way it works is that it keeps the camera and the microphone enabled. While the camera in a smartphone doesn't really have a direct view of the keyboard, it usually, by looking at shadows and such, may be able to detect what keys your type, and this particular attack also implements a game that the user then may play that allows this application to learn what position on the display does correspond to what sound and camera image. Not sure how practical this is, given that you first need to install malware on the device, then you need to keep that malware running while the user types in their PIN. At that point, there may be easier ways to actually get to the user's password. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow.